This week, Chinese scientists announced they have slashed the cost of producing green hydrogen by 85%, while boosting efficiency by 65%. If this is real, it's not just an innovation, it's a seismic shift in the global energy landscape. Is this the breakthrough we've been waiting for? Or is the West about to be left behind? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's shaping global competition. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, it's all about hydrogen. We're seeing a flood of breakthroughs in the core technology, massive new industrial projects coming online in Europe, and a geopolitical race heating up with the US, EU, and Saudi Arabia all making billion-dollar moves. The central question for executives is no longer if green hydrogen will be a major force, but who will control the technology and the supply chains that define it.
Exactly, Susie. The focus is shifting from feasibility to industrial economics and supply chain security, and the catalyst is at the heart of it all.
Let's start there, Troy. We saw three major announcements this week from Germany, Japan, and China, all tackling the biggest problem in green hydrogen, the cost of the electrolyzer. What's the core issue they're all trying to solve?
The issue is a rare precious metal called iridium. It's the most effective catalyst for the anode in proton exchange membrane, or PEM, electrolyzers, the leading technology for high-efficiency green hydrogen. But iridium is incredibly expensive, and its supply is constrained, creating a massive bottleneck for scaling up production globally.
So it's a classic supply chain vulnerability. How are these teams tackling it?
We're seeing two distinct strategic approaches. In Germany, a chemistry team has developed a PEM electrolyzer that completely eliminates iridium, using abundant nickel and iron catalysts instead. They're reporting performance, a current density of 2 amps per square centimeter at 1.8 volts that was previously only possible with iridium. They claim this could cut the cost of the electrolyzer stack by 80%.
80% is a game changer. What about the Japanese approach?
A team at Riken in Japan is also focused on eliminating iridium, but they're using a novel manganese modification. Again, the goal is to use earth-abundant materials to bring down the cost of the core component.
Okay, so Germany and Japan are pursuing an iridium-free path. You mentioned a different approach from China.
That's right. Chinese scientists have taken a different route. Instead of eliminating iridium, they found a way to use it with extreme efficiency. They've embedded trace amounts of iridium into a cerium oxide support structure. The result, as you mentioned in the open, is a reported 85% cost reduction and a 65% boost in hydrogen production efficiency.
So, for US and European manufacturers of electrolyzers, this is a critical fork in the road. What are the implications?
It's a strategic dilemma. The German and Japanese approach de-risks the supply chain entirely by designing out the problem material. This is a huge advantage for manufacturers who want to avoid price volatility and geopolitical dependency on iridium. The Chinese approach, however, doubles down on performance, potentially creating a catalyst that is simply better and cheaper, even if it still relies on a critical mineral. Western manufacturers now face a direct competitive threat from a potentially superior, lower-cost Chinese technology.
And for trading companies and distributors sourcing these components?
They need to watch which technology gains commercial traction. A shift to nickel, iron, and manganese catalysts creates entirely new supply chains to manage. If the Chinese technology scales, the demand won't be for raw iridium, but for these highly specialized value-added cerium oxide iridium catalysts. Market timing is everything.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
They need to immediately task their R&D and strategic sourcing teams to evaluate these catalyst pathways. A decision has to be made. Do you invest in developing or licensing iridium-free technology to secure your supply chain? Or do you find a way to compete with China's ultra-efficient iridium-based systems? Waiting is not an option.
That brings us to the factory floor. It's one thing to have a breakthrough in the lab, but another to see it working at industrial scale. We saw some major news out of Germany on that front.
We did. BASF and Siemens Energy have just commissioned Germany's largest PEM electrolyzer, a 54-megawatt unit at BASF's Ludwigshafen Chemical Complex. It's expected to produce up to 8,000 tons of green hydrogen annually, which will be fed directly into their production of ammonia and methanol.
What does that mean in practical terms?
It means a direct reduction of 72,000 tons of CO2 per year. This is the model for industrial decarbonization. On-site production of green hydrogen integrated directly into an existing manufacturing process, replacing fossil-derived hydrogen. It's a real-world, operational success story.
But at the same time, we saw another much larger German project get canceled, the HyScale 100 project. What happened there?
HyScale was a massive 2.1 gigawatt project planned at the Heidi refinery. It was canceled due to what the government called planning uncertainties. This is the harsh reality of these moonshot projects. A 54 megawatt project like BASF's can be integrated into existing infrastructure. A 2.1 gigawatt project requires immense new infrastructure for renewable power, water, and hydrogen transport, all of which introduce significant risk.
So for a US or European manufacturer looking to decarbonize, what's the lesson here?
The lesson is to be pragmatic. The BASF model is a template for success. Start with a project that has a clear on-site customer for the hydrogen. This de-risks the entire investment. The HyScale failure is a warning against ambition without a rock-solid infrastructure and offtake plan. We also saw German chemical company Lanxess cut 6,000 tons of CO2 annually simply by using byproduct hydrogen from an adjacent Covestro plant. Sometimes the smartest first step is to use what's already available.
What should trading companies and distributors take away from this?
The market for industrial-scale electrolyzers and integration services is officially here, driven by companies like BASF. But project viability is key. They should focus on clients with clear, integrated use cases. Furthermore, the Lanxess example opens up a new market, brokering and distributing byproduct hydrogen within industrial clusters. It's a lower capital way to enter the market.
And the actionable takeaway for an executive team?
Before planning a multi-gigawatt greenfield project, conduct a thorough audit of your own facilities and neighboring industries. Are there opportunities for a more modest, integrated project like BASF's? Is there an available stream of byproduct hydrogen, like Lynx has found? Solving your own demand first is far less risky than building a plant and hoping customers will come.
Finally, let's zoom out to the global picture. It feels like every major economic bloc is now in an all-out race for hydrogen dominance. What are the big strategic moves we saw this week?
It's a three-way race, and the scale is staggering. In the United States, the Department of Energy published a report targeting up to 1,000 gigawatts of electrolyzer capacity by 2050, up from just 0.17 today. This is backed by funding like the $62 million for 20 new projects announced on August 7th. We're also seeing this policy translate to reality, with a new facility in Lancaster, Texas, now operational, powered by dedicated wind and solar.
That's the U.S. strategy, massive targets backed by federal seed funding. What about Europe?
Europe is matching that ambition. The EU updated its hydrogen strategy, and we just saw Spain and the Netherlands secure over $1 billion for new projects. Spain is allocating 274 million euros for 102 megawatts of new electrolyzer capacity, and the Netherlands got approval for a 780 million euro support scheme. Italy has also launched a 400 million euro annual fund. It's a coordinated continent-wide push to build a domestic industry.
So we have the US and the EU using policy and public funds to build a market. What's the third player in this race?
Saudi Arabia, but their approach is different. The NEOM Green Hydrogen Company has just completed construction of its $8.5 billion plant. It's now entering the commissioning phase. When it's fully operational, it will produce 600 tons of carbon-free hydrogen per day. That's a single project, privately and state-funded, that dwarfs many national efforts.
So how should a U.S. or European manufacturer interpret this geopolitical map?
For manufacturers of electrolyzers, fuel cells, and related hardware, the U.S. and EU policies are a massive tailwind. This is the time to scale up domestic production to meet subsidized demand. The competitive threat comes from the sheer scale and low-cost renewables of a project like NEOM, which aims to be a global hydrogen exporter.
And if you're a trading company looking to move hydrogen or hydrogen-based fuels like ammonia?
You need to become an expert in these subsidy programs. The price of hydrogen in Texas will be shaped by the U.S. hydrogen shot goal of $1 per kilogram. The price in Europe will be influenced by schemes like the ones in Spain and Italy, and the global commodity price will likely be set by massive exporters like Saudi Arabia. Navigating these different pricing structures will be critical.
What is the single action executives should consider now, given this global landscape?
Western executives must build their business models around the domestic policy incentives available to them. In the U.S., align your projects with the DOE's hydrogen hubs and funding opportunities. In Europe, ensure your plans fit within the EU's hydrogen strategy and national support schemes. You have to leverage these programs to compete with the scale of state-led actors like Saudi Arabia.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, the core technology for producing green hydrogen is undergoing a revolution. The race to engineer iridium out of the system or to use it with incredible efficiency is slashing costs and will reshape the entire manufacturing landscape. The competitive threat from new Chinese IP is real and immediate.
Second,
industrial-scale deployment is a reality, but pragmatism is winning. Integrated projects like BASF's with a built-in customer are the blueprint for success. Massive moonshots without secure infrastructure and offtake agreements are proving extremely risky, as the canceled high-scale project shows.
And finally?
The global map is being drawn. The U.S. and EU are using massive public funding to build domestic hydrogen economies from the ground up. This creates huge opportunities for local manufacturers, but they must prepare to compete on a global stage with state-backed energy giants like Saudi Arabia, who are building export-focused gigaprojects.
A new energy world order in the making.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Join us next week for more essential analysis on the technology shaping your business and your world.
To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on your podcast platform of choice.
Thank you for listening.